In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This morning we'll start off with a bit of a hot seat competition. Who wants to be a millionaire? So let's ask some questions. First, really simple question. What was the gospel today about? It's actually only recited, the story's only recited in the Gospel of St. John. And it's, of course, it was the Lord raising Lazarus from the dead. What is Mary, Martha's sister, most famous for? Who remembers? She was the one who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped the Lord's feet with her hair. In this passage is the smallest, shortest verse in the whole Bible. What is it? The Lord, Jesus wept, chapter 11, verse 35. How long did Lazarus, the church tells us, how long did Lazarus live for after the Lord raised him from the dead? How many years do you think? The tradition tells us it was about 30 to 40 years. Where did he go after the Pentecost, after the Lord ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit? He was actually ordained as a bishop in Cyprus, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Where are the relics? Are there any relics for St. Lazarus? Are there any relics and where are they? Well, they believe that they found his relics in the church where he preached or where he was, where he served in Cyprus. And in 2012, only 2-3 years ago, the Greek Orthodox Church actually shared some of his relics with the Russian Orthodox Church. The story today, I want to put a little bit of a twist on it. We hear a beautiful story of two sisters and their responses to an awful tragedy in their lives. And when I read it and I put myself in their shoes, I don't think I would have responded the way they did. I think a lot of us would have had a bit of a different response. And our response would have been more along the lines of, why me? This isn't fair. So let's just replay the story a little bit. In terms of how many of us, I'll talk of myself, may have responded in this scenario. What we know is, and you can just imagine, if we were Mary and Martha and we had that closeness to the Lord, I mean, how many times did the gospel today tell us that there was this great love, this great bond, this closeness between the Lord and Lazarus and Mary and Martha? In fact, the message was, the one whom you love, the one whom you love is sick. So you can just imagine Martha sitting there thinking, wait till I see Jesus. Wait till he comes. Am I going to give it to him? You know, we are the bestest, closest of friends. I send you word that the one whom you love is sick and you didn't come. And now he's dead. You heal strangers with a word from a distance. You couldn't have at least said a word and healed him from a distance if you couldn't come? And now he's dead. What are we going to do? And in those days, it was actually quite a catastrophe. If you didn't have a man in your life, it was both an economic and social catastrophe in the Jewish custom at the time. Plus, it would have been seen as a curse on them. So you can just imagine what their response, what a typical response would have been if we were in those shoes. And it makes me think that often we are like this. I remember when the kids were smaller, often we'd ask them to do something and what's the typical response? Why? And particularly if you've got two kids or three kids, why me? It's not fair, get them to do it. Or why does it always happen to me? And you can imagine how they would have had a similar response. And often we have a similar response. And I want you to think about the incidences in your life where you're thinking to yourself and in your prayer you're saying to the Lord, why me? Why me? Why am I in this situation? Why has this happened to me? Why are you allowing me to go through this? Because that, I think, is the message for us today from this gospel. We'll talk a bit about what happened, but let's just go to the end of the end of the story where the Lord then raises Lazarus, and we'll come back and touch on that a little bit in a minute. He's raised from the dead, and then what happens? He's able to go back to his normal life and to carry on? No, he's a marked man. There's a price on his head by the Jews. There's a price on his head by the Jews. Why? Because many people who didn't believe in the Lord up to that point believed because they saw this man who had rotted and they could smell the rottenness in the tomb was brought back to life. So countless people then converted to the Lord from that simple act. So the Jews, he had a price on his head. And to put yourself in Lazarus' shoes and Mary and Martha's, the Lord's ascended to heaven, and the Jews go wild at the disciples. They grab them, they throw them in prison, they beat them, they threaten them. They're in hiding. And Lazarus is sitting there thinking, and I know there's a contract out on my head. How would you then feel? Thanks. All we wanted you to do, Lord, was to heal him. Then he's dead. Now you've raised him. Now we've got a price on our head. And what do? They flee. They flee as refugees to Cyprus. And I imagine the books don't tell us, the church tradition doesn't tell us, but I imagine they probably only pretty much would have fled with the shirt on their back and probably a bag of clothes or something. I can't imagine how they would have had an option and sold their house, you know, for the highest price and taken the money and their goods and been able to re-establish in Cyprus. They fled for their lives. And again, you can ask the question if you were them. Why? This ain't fair. Why me? Is this what happens to those who love you, Lord? And often we can ask ourselves that question. The issues that we have in our lives are real. They are gut-wrenching. They are painful. And at times they may feel like they may never end. But it really depends on our perspective, and we learn a lot from these women. So I want you, over the next couple of minutes, as we go through and we share some contemplations on today's gospel, just to put yourself in their shoes and that scenario that's in your head where you pray to the Lord, this isn't fair, this is too much, I deserve better. Put that in the Lord's hands for the next 10 minutes. Those who were here early would have heard the gospel of Mary Magdalene going to the tomb, wanting to anoint the Lord's feet, or wanting to re-anoint the Lord's body after his burial because they couldn't do it properly. Did it make sense? Really, no. Mary Magdalene, it doesn't make sense. You're going somewhere where you physically can't roll away the tomb. You've got Roman soldiers who are brutal, who are more likely to abuse you than to help you, but it didn't matter. What happened? She went there, and in her grief, through her tears, what did she see? She actually saw the tomb opened, and two angels appeared to her. Angels actually appeared to her, but did she see it? She didn't get it. She saw it, but she didn't get it. In fact, the answer to her prayers was in front of her, and she didn't see him. And we're often like that. We bring to the Lord our prayers, our anguish, our pain, our tears, and we kneel there in front of that tomb and we cry. But I think I'm often like Mary Magdalene, where I then don't see the Lord's answer. He actually sends us the answer. It can be in the form of people, in the form of angels, in a different form. And he can appear to us himself, but she didn't see him because she was so full of grief that she didn't see him in front of her, and she mistook him for the gardener. And then when he revealed himself, she actually then called him teacher, not Lord. And the question for us today, I think, the question for me as I was preparing this was, what's my perspective? We get the clearest profession of faith from Martha and Mary, clearer, I think, than any other passage for me in the Bible. The Lord said to... Well, if we look at what their response was, she put the problem, she defined the problem. Often we pray for a solution. Why haven't you... You're not answering our prayers because we're not giving the Lord the definition of our problem. We give him our solution that we want him to deliver on. And that's often why we don't see his response. Martha was great because she said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, we clearly understand that she's not asking for him to raise him, the Lord to raise him from the dead, because she says, I believe that he will rise... I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So she puts the problem in his hands and she leaves it in the Lord's hands. And what is the Lord's response? One of the great I ams, the seven I ams, particularly in St. John's Gospel, I am what? The resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe? In the midst of her anguish, in the midst of her despair, the Lord says to her, do you believe? And the question is to us, do we believe in that midst of whatever it is that's causing us that gut-wrenching anguish in our lives? Do we believe? We read in the Acts St. Paul, here is a man who dedicated his whole life. And we see in the passage we read today in Acts, he had a wound. He had physical wounds in his body. And it was, we know in Corinthians further on, that it was actually very, very painful. And he cried to the Lord three times for it to be removed from him. And the Lord didn't. And the Lord didn't. And there was a reason for it. St. Paul didn't understand why, but he was annoyed and it was frustrating. Think about it. This is a man who was, and I'm not sure, it doesn't tell us, we don't know what the source of his wounds were. All we know is that his wounds and the aprons and the pus that was wiped off his body was actually a source of healing for others. I'm not sure whether that was actually infection or whatever, because we know that he was whipped how many times? He got whipped 39 stripes five times. Many people didn't survive it the first time. He was beaten by rods three times. So I imagine his body would have been an absolute and utter mess. So I wouldn't be surprised if the wounds in his body may have been a result from what he endured because of his mission. And you can imagine St. Paul in his prayers those three times probably saying, come on, give me a break. Enough's enough. I mean, I was even stoned and concussed and they left me for dead. Give me at least a bit of comfort here. It would have been itchy, it would have hurt, it would have been painful. And he was complaining, it's not fair. It's often we can get the misconception in these experiences that the Lord is cruel, but he's not. Let's see the conclusion. For St. Paul, he saw the conclusion later on. He understood later on. Because what did the Lord say to him? And let me quote it so I don't use the wrong words. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So if you want to experience God's grace, it comes from a position of weakness and submission. And what was Paul's response? Most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities than in the that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Often we are struggling with different things. If you feel betrayed, it's okay. The Lord understands. Because he was betrayed by his closest friends for what? For some loose change. And he was abandoned at his hour of need. If you're the subject of rumours, it's okay. The Lord was falsely accused by lies who were paid to lie. Do you feel humiliated for whatever reason? It's okay. The Lord was stripped. He was mocked. He carried his own cross through the streets in humiliation and hung amongst criminals. Are you in pain? So was he. They twisted a crown of thorns on his head and then physically nailed him to a cross. In your life, do you feel perhaps abandoned? Well, so was he on the cross. When he cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. So the message for us today is if we often pray to the Lord and cry to the Lord and say, why me? The answer to that question is, do you believe in me that I am the resurrection? And he will ask us to do something that often we don't want to do. Did it make sense when he said, roll away the stone from the tomb? It didn't make sense. He purposely waited 4 days for the body. And I remember a sermon by Ibn Arabi years ago when he talked about how a body decays, giving us that graphic image. You know, it doesn't make any sense. It's beyond the time. It's past. Lazarus is dead. perhaps more, his body has totally is really in a terrible state of decay and stench. But that's okay. The message to me for today that I got out of the gospel reading for today is, when I cry, why me? I'm challenged, do you believe? And then there's a response that's required. And the Lord asked Mary and Martha and those around them for a response. And his request was, his instruction was, open the door of the tomb. And the question I think that the Lord is challenging me today is, am I willing to open the door of that tomb? Am I prepared to forgive someone I hate? I have 100 reasons why I'm justified not forgiving someone. But the Lord's asked me to open that door and to forgive. Whatever that issue is in our lives, is it a bad friendship? The Lord's asking us to open that door and to break it. Is it a habit that's destroying us quietly? The Lord's asking us to open the door and to expose it for Him to heal it, even if it doesn't make sense 4 days after the event. We have to respond, even if it doesn't make sense, to experience the Lord's glory in our lives. St. Paul saw it many years later, and he happily, and sometimes the problem may not be solved. In St. Paul's case, the Lord didn't heal him, but he was glad and he rejoiced because through it, he was able to see the Lord's strength and grace in his life. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, I'll end with two quick things. I don't get St. Paul. I can't wait to meet St. Paul and say to him, when you were shipwrecked and bobbing in the sea for a day and a night, I don't know about you, but I'm not a great swimmer. Okay. So the concept of being in the water for 24 hours, not knowing whether I'm going to be rescued or not, And in the service as well, mind you, no doubt he would have been heat-stroked because the sun would have been beating on his head, not knowing whether I'd eventually give up, lose strength and fall in the water and drown. What was going through his head during that period? And did that change his commitment? Do you believe? The Lord allows these things in our lives at times for us to grow through it, for Him to manifest His grace and His presence in our lives. And sometimes it may not be for our sake, but for the sake of others around us, like for Lazarus. Lazarus went through a lot, but 2,000 years later, we remember him still. And numerous people were converted because of his strength and of what he endured for the Lord. And the Lord glorified him. Because if you remember, what was the Lord's prayer, his final prayer in Gethsemane? What was his ultimate prayer? For us to share in His glory, that the glory the Lord has with the Father. He wants to share that glory with us. And sometimes that means having to go through some hardships. But there is a promise that if we believe and we obey and open that door, He will turn what is corrupted, what is smelly, what is dead in our lives into something glorious for the glory of His name. But it requires patience and endurance. I will end with a prayer from St. John Saba, the spiritual hermit, who said, "You, Lord, who wept for Lazarus and flooded the tears of sorrow and sadness, may you accept my tears of bitterness. Take me away from my pains by your sufferings. Heal the wounds of my poor soul by your blessed wounds. Glory be to God forever." Amen.